We are an interesting collection of papers. I guess the theme was quality, and so there is sort of quality dispersed throughout. And I have to acknowledge my colleague, Dr. Cox, who's now hugging a friend, and how it is amazing that we were in the very first APHA session together on the same panel, and then to be here now, and to have been in the same session for the past few years, I think. So, and she's promised me, even though I was just 14 when we met, that she would, and she's into preferment now, that she would consult with me on a grant proposal that's going in. So yes, way to go. This is a different project for me. This is integrating community health workers into mainstream health systems. And I did this as a Rob Wood Johnson Executive Nurse Fellow, and I think that RWJ-ENF journey is as important as what I'm going to be sharing with you. We created a guidebook, and the guidebook is available electronically. It will be on the AONE website, and all of you can have it. But this journey has been remarkable. And with me, Lisa is a CNO of this hospital in Florida. Shawanda is here in New Orleans, and she is in charge of recruitment and retention for the VA nursing. Lorraine is a CNO in Worcester, Ohio. Now she's moved to another state. Sheila is with Partners in Health and the director of nursing for Partners in Health. She's currently the director of their Ebola initiative and has been trained by CDC and is in Liberia training other people. And then Beth Brooks is the president of a small university, Resurrection University, in Chicago. They are an amazing group of women, and we have nothing to disclose in terms of financial relationships. We came to this project in a unique way through the RWJ training program, this Executive Nurse Fellows program. We had consultants who came to us and talked about RWJ's major missions that are going on, population health and diversity and inclusion. And then during that time, during this time that we were together, our teachers, the people who had worked with us for several weeks, would put up themes and cluster those themes together, and then they would post the themes in different parts of the room. So we, a group of 20, had to divide up into four or five separate groups. So we went to the board that had the themes that were resonating with us, as opposed to picking the people that we wanted to work with, because we had to create something. We had the charge of having 12 months and to create a outcome, a project, a product, as a high-functioning team. And this is the work that we did together, and it's really remarkable, I think, to be able to accomplish this in the period of time with the women that I worked with. So this is about changing healthcare delivery environment, about opportunities for partnership, public health nurses with nurse leaders in healthcare systems, and it was an eye-opening experience for me to have an opportunity to work with chief nursing officers and these nurses in very diverse roles. And then describing the usefulness of this community health worker guidebook. We called it Building a Community Health Worker Program, the key to better care, better outcomes, lower costs, the triple aim. And we were imagining what a health system would be like if one could deal with all the problems that they're facing: decrease admissions, increase adherence, improve health and wellness, prevent disease, and meet some of the population needs as recommended by the ACA. So in terms of background, I think we're all familiar with the language of the ACA that by 2014, more than 30 million people were going to be enrolled in new insurance programs. It took me a long time to try to find out how many people actually were enrolled, how many additional people, and I think the numbers are fairly fluid. I wasn't able to find one best source, but the RAND Corporation says 9.3 million people, an estimate, had coverage. More people had coverage, and the uninsured rate went from 20% to 15.8% in 2014. Surprisingly, healthcare leaders are very unaware of community health workers and how community health workers might help them in their systems, in new delivery models. And clearly, we need new models of care. We need to, if we want to address primary care access, if we want to meet this increased demand, and I think they're saying now another 13 million or 17 million should enroll in the coming year, and if we want to achieve this triple aim. We did an extensive literature review before we embarked on this project of developing a guidebook for community. Oh, not a zero. No, I didn't
realize that.
We did literature review. So some of this background is the literature. And we know that community health workers have been around in the U.S. since the 1960s. The numbers have expanded, 10,000 in 1998, 120,000 in 2010, and they're there to address barriers to access. If we use community health workers and coordinate with mainstream healthcare providers, we can provide frontline, trusted people in the community who can offer a variety of services, health education, nutrition, wellness, disease prevention, and help to decrease disparities and achieve the triple aim. So our group proposed a polyvalent or multipurpose community health worker. So community health worker definitions vary. There are loads of names and titles and definitions. We framed this idea of a multipurpose or polyvalent community health worker that's probably seen more internationally than in the United States, but someone who could deal with a variety of symptoms and conditions, as opposed to a single modal, unimodal one who focuses only on an individual condition. Much of the literature has community health workers working with diabetics or with AIDS patients or very specific targeted populations. Both models, we realize, though, there's a need for both to be able to cover the healthcare needs and refer people when necessary. So this is the APHA definition of community health workers. There are other documents that we're all familiar with, the IOM, the CDC, HRSA, APHA, and the Accountable Care Organizations, or ACA, are all promoting the use of community health workers. So this is one fairly broad definition that's been in existence since 2010 and promoted by the American Public Health Association. More lessons learned from the literature. There is a clash, and I guess it's no surprise to us that there is a clash between acute care and community-based approaches, and that the two don't talk to each other, don't partner to the extent that we know we need to do in the future. It's clearer than ever that we have to have those partnerships as we move forward. The other challenge is that there's so much inconsistency in community health worker selection. Their criteria, their training, the scope of practice, roles, responsibilities, outcome measures, the way they're reimbursed. All of these issues are inconsistent, and if you look at the literature, there's sort of a wide variety and scattering of each of these factors. The roles, the main roles, are health educator, disease-specific prevention, or disease-specific care. And the outcomes are clinical, cost-related, or access outcomes. Now, in the literature, there's, again, a wide variety of evidence with published results that say that they are cost-effective or that there are good clinical outcomes. It runs the gamut. But one study by Whiteley and others talks about an average savings of $2.28 per dollar spent. So an average savings of $2,000. For each community health worker interaction with a patient, which seems like an important and valuable thing to do. So again, the evidence is mixed, but many, many folks are moving in this direction. Lessons learned and more from the literature, that engagement of the community and other stakeholders is key. And within this diagram, it's probably hard to read, but the nurse, the social worker, the pharmacist, the physician, the nutritionist all have to work together with the community health worker. Intra and interprofessional collaboration has to occur, and if we're going to truly integrate them into mainstream healthcare systems to get a smooth transition, it presents more challenges. Challenges in terms of funding, challenges in terms of training, challenges in terms of this clash between acute and community-based services. This is from the writing of Kriegler et al. In 2011, and these are the elements of a successful community health worker program. And that graphic in the middle, when my colleagues and I started to work and with this very large literature, I had a doctoral student who was here earlier at the conference, Onhee Park, do this literature, systematic literature review for us, and there were over 1,000 articles about community health workers. So we ended up studying the reviews of reviews. We looked at the systematic reviews, and there were over 20 systematic reviews of research on community health workers, and that's where we got the data. But as we brainstormed together, as we were reading this information and looking at various websites that have lots of programs and information to share, we came up with what we fondly refer to as the bubble model. So these six bubbles, so the cap is education, the woman to the right is a supervisor, there are tools and that are used, tools and forms that are used, we have to deal with workload issues, the triple aim symbol is there, and then reimbursement. It was like those six bubbles or those six categories were the main headers, and we organized the work in this guidebook under those six headers. So the implementation exemplar, this comes from one of the CNOs who's based in Ohio. She actually created an innovative program where she used local liberal arts college students and trained them, trained by hospital staff and physicians. So community health workers are often trusted people in and of the community, but Lorraine was arguing that this would be something that we could also do with young liberal arts students who were interested in social justice and a mission for health and improving the condition of people's lives. And the patients were recruited from her hospital, from physician practices, social workers, self-referrals, and they were the complex with chronic conditions. She had a multidisciplinary team. They identified patient goals, and all of this was driven with a plan of care that was guided by a nurse. Clearly there is a nurse leader of this team working with the community health worker, in this case young students, some of them nursing students. And the focus was on primary interventions with home visits and added phone calls, and then some telehealth devices. Preliminary results from her study, and this is probably about four months worth of data, she actually saw and reported 54% reduction in admissions in that population, 26% decrease use in the ED, compliance with correct medication use because of the medication box, and public health nurses know about med boxes, smoking cessation achievements, and hemoglobin A1C, as well as blood pressure achievements. So in the small population that they've started out with, they're having good success. And she has moved to a higher level position in another health system, but that program goes on in Ohio where it was started. Implications. Community health worker role is resurging now, I think, because ACA, IOM, and all of the other organizations are behind it. Community health workers can act as a liaison, they can provide guidance, they can communicate, that face-to-face communication that Cheryl was talking about. They can be culturally appropriate, advocate for individuals in the community. If they know the community and are of the community, they can bring that information back and provide referral opportunities and follow-up services back to the team. There are opportunities to implement this polyvalent or multipurpose role, community health worker role for chronic conditions. And there are new funding sources. There is a 2013 document, I thought I jotted the name of it down, a 2013 document on CDC's website, which will tell you, give you information about states that have actually licensed or some regulation for community health workers, and I think there are about 16 states at present. And then what we found is the majority of community health worker programs are funded by grants. Well, grants come and grants go, and so programs come and programs go. But Medicaid and Medicare now, through some of the CMS innovation projects and through the ACA's approach to, and ACOs, the Accountable Care Organizations, bundled payment opportunities, I think we have more opportunities to see community health workers integrated into those payment systems. More implications. It's all about partnerships. And if we truly want to integrate this community health worker into a mainstream system, to be able to make that transition, to think about the distributive care, we have to work together and partner together with CMOs and CNOs and the public health system, the public health network, and leverage the potential for success. We need to monitor and collect data for community health worker services so that we can demonstrate their value and obtain more feedback, and we need to revise these programs on an ongoing basis to do that performance management of community health workers to make sure that we really are getting value added. So our guidebook includes best evidence, key implementation considerations, tools and templates, references. There's exemplars in the guidebook. We highlighted the Camden, New Jersey model, which is an urban model that's pretty well known. We highlighted a model from rural Montana, which is also a model that's pretty substantial and has existed for a while. And then in Minnesota, there's another model that is just getting off the ground. So we have these three case studies where we interviewed folks and brought in public data, but they gave us some additional data about their programs. And there's more success with Medicaid and Medicare reimbursement for community health worker services. So the guidebook is coming soon at AONE.org. We signed an agreement with AONE. They're going to put it on their website, their public website, so that it's available to anyone. And I have a copy of the guidebook. I brought my computer so I could actually show it to you electronically. Each of us can distribute it to anyone who would like it, so I can make it available to folks. And I thank you for listening to this presentation and for being here at the last hour at APHA.
Okay, you can either sit down or come up, but are there any questions for any of the speakers that we have here? See that? You guys are so good. Go ahead. So you're looking for ways to recruit men into the community health worker role? Thank you.
Anything else? No?
Okay. Well, thank you very much. If anybody needs a sugar shot to get them to the closing session, feel free to come on up. We've got York Peppermint Patties and a couple of Tootsie Roll Pops left. All right. Thank you all for coming. I hope you had a good time.